Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, Summer Fun Edition. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. Shout out to Ewan. Miss you. Yeah, can't wait till they let you out of the witness protection program so you can join us again. So we have an amazing group of people here today. But before I start, I'm going to do introductions right now. And then we'll talk about what Summer of Fun means. So back with us after one of the longest hiatuses between appearances. Ben, how are you?
Good. I like to make an entrance.
And here you are. It's good to see you again. And how are you?
I am great, Jeff.
Awesome. Well, glad you're here. Dave, how are you doing?
Doing great. It's Friday. I got some fun. Got to attend a wedding outside tomorrow. So luckily it's casual dress, so I don't have to wear a suit, which I'm happy. And
excellent.
Work's keeping me busy as always, and dealing with all kinds of crazy nonsense, as I'm sure Patrice can appreciate. Doing good.
I'm
glad to be here.
I'm trying to imagine you in a suit right now. I'm failing.
Here you go.
okay.
You know, you look a lot happier in a t-shirt than you do.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I got the pocket t-shirt going here today, so.
but you need like the
for my
pencils iPhone. And stuff. Yeah.
My iPhone. That's right.
Oh, your iPhone. Okay.
So the whole shirt pocket full of stuff. All right. So a couple weeks ago, I was out going for a walk on the trail that runs along Boulder Creek because, you know, I'm in Boulder. So, of course, we have nature trails that just run right through the middle of town. And I'm just walking along, enjoying the sights. And this guy, middle-aged guy, he is out, I guess, jogging. And it was clear that he was intentionally exercising. And he's wearing blue jeans and a short sleeve shirt with the breast pocket. And he has his phone and a couple other things in the breast pocket. And he's jogging and he has to hold his hand up here, you know, like oh my God, I'm having a heart attack sort of thing.
Oh, no.
To keep everything from flying out of his pocket. And part of me was like, what are you doing? But I didn't say anything out loud because, you know, I mean, he's out exercising. He's working to improve himself. So I'm not going to shame him in any way out loud or where he can hear it.
You only do it on a stream, right?
No. Right. I only do it on a live stream.
To honor that guy, I'm going to go full Kingpin in a 5K.
I am looking forward to the photos. I think that will be epic.
I don't get that. That's something I just don't understand. Like, I mean, one, why do men's like shirts have pockets there? Like, you have so many pockets anyway. Like, why? Like, it's the worst place you could put anything. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I think it's out of spite. You know, there's already so many pockets. Let's just put one more on. You know, because we don't put any on women's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that must be it. Yeah, I don't get it. I said it's one of those things where it's like, it's just the worst place to carry anything. I mean, maybe actually, even on top of your head might be better.
Yeah, could be.
Like, yeah.
All right, so I've lost track. Ben, I said hi to you. Dave, yes. Have I said hi to you yet?
You did.
Okay, then that means, Patrice, I have not said hi to you. and I'm glad that you are here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy. It's the weekend. Unfortunately, I got a last minute customer hospital issue, like a production issue, which is never a good thing. So one of my developers is unfortunately right now working on it instead of enjoying her weekend. Because usually, like Austria on a Friday afternoon, nothing happens. Like nobody's working. It's like the banks close, like everything just closes. I'm not even sure the banks open on Friday, actually. Because Austria.
So the only person in Austria that's working right now is your one developer, and that's because she is addressing a hospital's issue.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, the hospitals are working, and for sure, like the police and all of the emergency staff. But like as I said, I mean, supermarkets are open. I can't. There's a lot of people working. But yeah, in an IT company, it's quite unusual that Friday afternoon anything gets done.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a good weekend. And tomorrow I have a meetup planned for Vienna. We're going to do the foodie tour in Vienna. Like nice. I organized that. So I'm going to take a few people here from Linz and then show them like some farmers markets and some other cool places in Vienna. So it's going to be cool.
But wait That's for you awesome. To come to Chicago to do the same thing.
I'll do that. It's on my list. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you can come back and do the U.S. foodie tour.
Oh, I would love because to do that.
You know people in cities all across the United States.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I mean, I mean to the extent that I'm like, okay, I was thinking. I mean, even for this year, but like I was like, okay, next year I'm coming to the U.S. like for a vacation, and I'm like, okay, who do I want to visit? I want to visit Dave, so Chicago's on the list. I want to visit Jeff, so Boulder's on the list. I want to visit like
I'm in between the
Mike,
two.
Mike Rose to York, and like so New York is on the list. I want to visit Jerry, so Hawaii is on the list. I want to visit friends in Arizona, so it's there. Like there is Portland, and it's like, and I'm like, okay, I'm running out of time and money to do that.
That's right, travel.
Like, it's literally like, okay, I'm gonna visit everybody I know in Europe.
Kind of, yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like that. So I probably will have to do a priority list, but like top of the list definitely is Chicago, and definitely is Boulder. So.
And we're going to have an epic time.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I have to join you in Boulder too.
Oh yeah, and we could do that.
Even more epic.
We could do that. Like I'll visit you, I'll pick you up, and then we go visit Jeff. Yeah.
I'm loving this plan.
Yeah, better idea. Just coincide everything with like Mac stock.
Yeah. Could do that, but then that's a really bad time of the year to go to Arizona.
Yeah, that would be a really bad time.
It's super hot, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's the worst time of the year to go to. I mean, it's super hot and nothing is happening because, like, everything's shut down. Basically. It's the winter of, like, other places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only other places won't cause you to spontaneously combust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. or like, shrivel and dry out like a, whatever, raisin. Like a plum. Like a raisin. Oh, yeah, raisins. Good. I like raisins.
Yeah, like a raisin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A very angry, disappointed raisin.
And very
which
white.
I think actually describes every raisin.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like the villain in a California Raisins movie.
Oh, I forgot about the California Raisins.
Yeah, I was more thinking about Lower Decks, but okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about Lower Decks as well. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not spoiling anything because it was in the trailer for season two. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Season three.
Is that even season three already? Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah, season then three.
Okay. You're right. Okay. So season three.
Yeah. All right.
Beaches
so.
In Venice. We're traveling. How about traveling?
Bob Beach is in Venice. I love Venice.
I do too. Uh-huh. I love Venice.
Italy or LA?
Italy.
I would say Italy. Because yeah. Nobody loves Venice, LA. I cannot imagine.
Yeah, Venice if Beach. You're if you're in Venice in LA, you don't say I'm in Venice. You say I'm in Venice, please send help.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be going to Vegas soon, so I got a plan for November.
Awesome. So it'll
Venice.
Be Yeah, it'll be just like being in Venice, Italy. Yeah,
no,
just go not, over. Not the, even just close. Go over to the Venetian and just kind of simulate it.
Yeah. It's not even close.
I know.
No, it's no. It is not.
It's not, so
not
fake.
Even close.
Yeah, city and water, the desert. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Hey, so I said we're doing Summer of Fun. I should tell people what that means before we wrap up the show.
that would be a fun show. Just talk about random shit and say, oh, by the way, this was Summer of Fun. Bye.
Yeah. thanks for joining us. You'll never see my
curly do that.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Anyhow, Summer of Fun. So typically we take the summer off because it tends to be slow news time. But we decided that we'd do something different because we all just love hanging out and getting to spend time together. And then spend time with all of you that, that tune in to watch and listen, live or later. And, it's so what we're doing is picking a topic each week and then just kind of diving into that. And the thing is, the topic can be whatever we want. And Patrice, thank you for realizing that this is an idea we needed to adopt. Mm-hmm. And getting us in on what Relay FM obviously preemptively stole from you.
That's right. Yeah, I could say that.
Yeah, and so this week our topic is the worst Apple devices.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that we all are going to be able to come up with at least a couple. Yeah,
easy.
Yes.
Anyway, we have in our show document in brackets like things that Johnny Ive screwed up, which probably isn't fair because not everything that is on that list was screwed up by him. But I think he had a pretty decent hand.
That one. Yeah, there are a few things where he needs to take some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so I'll start us off with one, and instead of going with what I'm assuming is an obvious Johnny Ive pick that someone already has on their list, I'm going to go with iPod socks.
Is that really the worst you can come up with, Jeff?
Oh, it's just one of many on my list.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Why is it so bad?
It's so bad because... Well, it started off as a cursed product because when Steve Jobs announced iPod socks during whichever keynote it was very clear that he did not feel proud about this product. not at all. And it was as if he was presenting these socks that you put an iPod in with you know, clenched teeth, just forcing the words through his lips. And then immediately everyone started making fun of them. They didn't sell that well, but they sold for several years. And I mean, the idea of having a fun protective covering for an iPod is, I mean, it's a reasonable idea.
Mm-hmm.
The implementation, I mean, they actually looked like socks. There's no denying that.
I've never seen them, so I'm just imagining like those like California like co-op farmers market like hand knit socks. Like that's what I'm imagining right now.
No, they look more like if you went to Walmart and bought a bag of crew socks.
Oh, okay.
But then had them in some colors other than white. That's more what it was like.
Okay. Why do you think Apple introduced them?
I think Apple introduced them because they were trying to beef up their iPod accessory lineup, and this was
and socks was the best they could do.
And apparently, socks was the best they could come up with. Yeah, I started calling them iPod cozies. Yeah. And as I recall, when you bought them, you didn't buy just one. You had to buy them as a pack. So you had the full set of colors.
Dave put it on
eBay. They're still for sale on eBay.
Yeah.
$45.
$45 on eBay.
For four of them, right?
For four of them.
A whole pack.
It was original box. It's still sealed.
I mean, at this price, you can just go somewhere, buy some really nice socks, like a 5-pack, and put your iPod in that.
And drop your iPod in that. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's an interesting product. I wouldn't have said this is the worst product. It was kind of a meh product.
It was definitely a meh product.
It's definitely a weird one. I mean, these days, Apple is selling a lot of accessories for like your phones and your iPads and so on. Probably was the starting point for that, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like the bumper. Remember the iPhone 4S bumper?
They're holding it wrong.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, like, and we really don't want to, but here's a free bumper.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty clear Steve was not happy about that.
No.
You're holding it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to this day, very few people remember the actual controversy, but they do remember the you're holding it wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people other than like us probably remember what it was even about.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. You're holding it wrong has become a pop culture thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of memes out there, like, you're holding it wrong. Whenever something is wrong, like, people say, you're holding it. Yeah. For me, the worst product, that's a pretty tough one. I think what was that? Which year? Is that the 2017? 2016, 2017? The butterfly keyboard. That whole product line. I think it's a couple of years even. And I have one like sitting here right next to me, and I on occasion switch to it, and I'm like, wow, this is bad. I mean, I never had any. I'm very lucky. I never had any problems with like keys not working, or getting stuck or anything like that. I was super lucky. I know so many people who had that, but just typing on it, it just feels bad, and it feels wrong, and it just feels not like a pleasant typing experience. And I remember getting it, and even back then, I mean, there was nothing else. Even then, it was like, it's kind of a bad keyboard, and that's something we're not used to from Apple. And that's my personal opinion, definitely something Johnny like screwed up.
Yeah.
One way or another, whether it was his design or not, he signed off on it.
Yeah, I like to call it the keyboard that got I've fired.
I think he got himself fired. Well, he didn't. He didn't get fired per se, but he kind of. Yeah, I think it didn't have anything to do with that. I think he was out way before that. Yeah, but as I said, he officially, at least, he was in charge of it and he signed off on it. So, whether he designed it or not, I don't know who was the poor person who designed it. Probably, I don't think it was him. But
whatever engineer designed that is no longer with the company.
I don't know. I mean, people can make mistakes. That's fine. He's in charge. He signed off on it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he should have. Like people can make mistakes, and you can try things and to see if this works and whatnot. Like compromises and so on. But he signed off on that. He said, "Yes, this is the product we're shipping. This is the best we can do."
Yeah, well, and it was bad enough that it led to a class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. It was like $40 or $50 million settlement
because they wouldn't fix it.
Yeah. I mean, they try to fix it over the years, but then they just gave up.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I'm not even talking about the sticky keys and so on. Those were design issues or engineering issues that needed to be worked out. It's that the keyboard itself just was a bad keyboard. Like any new design that you come up with, you could have all kinds of engineering issues where, as I said, keys get stuck or something gets under them or something breaks that you didn't expect. Like all of that is an engineering question, and then you can work out. It's just, it is a bad keyboard in using it even.
It was horrible.
And that is not acceptable.
I had the 2017 and the 2018. Mm. And then 2019 was a little better, but it was still not great.
Yeah,
the 2019 was a little better. It's true. I have a 2019 here, my work machine. It is definitely it. You can tell the difference, so it's better.
It's definitely better. I mean, I had a 2016, and it went through several keyboard replacements, and
I had that one.
Yeah, and in the end, because of the problems that I had with my laptop at the end of my extended Apple care, they just gave me a brand new computer. And I mean, you know, it's bad when the problems go on so long that finally Apple is like, here, just have a new machine.
And if that was a one-off story, like, okay, your keyboard was especially bad for some reason and you just got a lemon and all of that. Okay. Like that would be like, I would say, okay, that can happen. Yeah, I've had problems with MacBooks. No, that's the problem. I don't even want to know what Apple ultimately lost. I mean, they still made gazillions.
Yeah.
But I don't want to know how much money they lost because of the keyboards, like all the replacements and the keyboard replacements they had to do and the machine replacements they had to do. And just also people just not wanting to buy the machines.
Yeah, I went with a Mac Mini rather than buy that generation of MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why people, not just the new M chips, it was part of the reasons why people waited for the M machines. Because they were like, I don't even want that old keyboard. Like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to use it.
Yeah, I know several people that went from a 2015 computer to an M1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though they fixed the keyboard in 2019.
Yes. Yeah. But it still looked too similar for people. They were like, I'm not so sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know some people, they were like, okay, like, with the M1s, I'm like, okay, now I can buy a new one because I didn't want the old keyboard.
Yeah. Yep. And for some of those people, even with the redesigned keyboard in 2019, they wanted to wait a couple years to see what happened with the keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's took bad a while. When the keyboard on the computer is a top news item. And is bad enough that it keeps longtime Apple product users from replacing their computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you said, I mean, there were people that held on to their old machines, not because the new machines didn't provide any benefit to them or they didn't want them, in a sense of like, oh, this would be a great machine and I want one. It's because they didn't want to deal with the keyboard.
Yep. And unlike Dongle-gate, it was actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my contender for the first Apple device ever.
I'll add one. I say the iPod Hi-Fi.
That was
probably one of the more worst products that Apple and I seemed to always. I do remember Steve Jobs vividly saying that, I'm getting rid of my home theater. I'm just going to hook my iPod Hi-Fi and just, this is going to be my exclusive way to listen to music and everything else.
And like 3 months later, the iBlock rocker was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So And I know that sucker was heavy too. It was like a 17 pounds or something. It was really, wow, really heavy. Yeah, it was, yeah, it was a heavy thing.
When you put batteries in it, because it used D cell batteries.
D. Yeah, D batteries adds the weight right there.
How many?
But it just it probably, I would bet at least four or six, probably six.
Yeah, I think it was six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a decent.
I'm surprised it didn't say add lead acid battery from a Toyota Tercel.
Yeah.
It just wasn't practical. The sound, I mean, was not great. And back in the day when that was out, I mean, there was so many other better competitors as far as sounding devices. I mean, I remember when that was released. That was probably the early 2000s, I think it was. It was not portable. I mean, I got the Sonos Move, and that thing's heavy, but nowhere near what this thing was. And then, you know, the connection, the 30-pin connector would not, I know you'd always have some challenges where it wasn't connecting right with the iPod. And, but yep, I think that one should be right on the list of the worst.
When you mentioned the battery thing, that reminded me of a satire video on YouTube, like early YouTube, the iPod Flea, because that one had an optional accessory of a battery, car battery.
Yeah, yes.
That was funny.
Oh, okay. My god, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, and then Apple kind of made one. That's the funnier thing about that, right? Because they made the little shuffle.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yeah. The interesting thing for me about the hi-fi is that it's generally accepted as a bad product from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a very polarizing product because there are people that love the hi-fi.
That's true.
Still use a hi-fi today.
Isn't Mike one of them? I think, doesn't he own one even from Relay FM? I think either Mike or Steven, one of them does.
Yeah.
Well, Steven owns everything. I think
Ewan has one. And
oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, if you can find one for cheap.
That's 60 bucks.
And it works. And you have an old dock connector iPod. I mean, it could be a fun thing now.
Hmm. Hmm.
But yeah.
I mean, some hotels bought them and put them
on the list.
Are they really? I didn't see any hotels.
I've seen one hotel, I think in San Francisco where I stayed, they had that. Which was weird because it was like early, I was like 2014 or something.
Yeah, I've only seen one iPod Hi-Fi in the wild.
Yeah.
And it was in a sandwich shop in Estes Park, Colorado. So mountain town outside Rocky Mountain National Park. And sitting on a shelf back behind the service counter, there's an iPod Hi-Fi, and it had an iPod in the dock, and they were just playing music on it. And yeah. So it's the only
someone
time
must I've have ever seen one. Probably one of the few people who bought one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they're still actively being sold on eBay.
Yeah. So, well, Ben, what's yours?
Yeah, speaking of things that nobody wants on eBay, a mouse that makes the good old hockey puck look like a good design decision. The Mighty Mouse.
I would have guessed you would go with your hockey puck, but the Mighty Mouse is
the charging is this alone is the joke of the day, and then you still make it the silly thing.
Well, but I mean the original OG Mighty Mouse with
a little pea ball on
the
top.
Nobody actually tested in the real world. Because it took about 3 seconds to get that thing all gunked up with sweat and everything, mm-hmm. to the point where the little scroll ball no longer worked.
I mean, if you think about it, Apple doesn't have a great track record with mice.
No, like, they do much better with trackpads.
Yeah, trackpads are great, but mice, like, there was maybe one or two I can remember that were okay, but the rest was kind of...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, they could put a literal rodent in the packaging, and it would do more for the use of their computer than the little input accessory called the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem is, where do you put the cable, and then how do you deal with the trauma of having put the cable in?
Yeah. You mean you can't put it like right here, like every other mouse maker in the world does?
Right.
I think Jeff was more talking about the actual
rodent. I was talking about the actual mouse.
Oh.
The rodent.
Yeah.
You're going to put that cable where?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, hey Ratatouille, do my work for me.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know, I hadn't thought about how poor Apple's track record with mice is. But once that was brought up, I realized that I have always used a third party pointing device with my Macs. Always.
Yeah. My aunt got the G3 iMac when it first came out. So when I went to order my El Capitan G3,
mm-hmm.
I ordered a new keyboard and mouse and threw the ones that came with it away immediately.
Mm. And you know what's sad? That I just checked. That Mighty Mouse sold until 2017. They only discontinued it in the wired version. They only discontinued in 2017.
Right.
Wow. I don't know what device it was shipping with, because the newer Magic Mouse was.
Maybe they were selling it as just as an accessory.
It. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, or for like whatever the education IMAX came with it, because they wanted a wired mouse. It came with that or something.
Yeah. Yeah, then they used the Mighty Mouse and bought a PC.
Could also be. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I've used most of them because I was back then new to Apple and under the impression, Apple knows what they're doing. They have good taste. They have good designers, all of that. So this must be a good mouse. And then I tried them and I was like, no. But I pretty quickly switched. Like, they came out with the Magic Trackpad, the very first one, and I switched to that and never switched back to a mouse.
Yeah, I use a Kensington Orbit, and so it's a low profile, small ball trackball, one button on either side, symmetrical. So it's great if you're left handed. And I bought it initially when it came out. So my first one actually had an ADB plug on it and used it until it died. And I mean, ultimately I had to put, I think it was the Keyspan ADB to USB adapter on it so that I could use it with USB Mac. But every time I've used one to its death point, I've just bought a new one. And I still use one to this day. When I replaced my last one that died, I was concerned that Kensington would stop selling them. So I bought two. So I have the one on my desk and one in the packaging in the closet.
I found the Wikipedia page of all the pointing devices. And I'm just looking at them. I'm like, okay. Bad ones.
Yeah.
I've been happy with the Master, the Logitech MX Master. I've been using this for a while.
Yep. Also an MX Master user.
Oh, yes. Yours is symmetrical.
The Mini.
Yeah.
This is the...
I haven't used Logitech pointing devices because for the longest time, they were right-handed only. And then when they finally started adding in some... Yeah, I did ultimately get a Magic Trackpad so that I could do gestures at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right. There's a lot of crappy Apple pointing devices.
Yeah. I never switched to trackpad only because I've had to use a lot of Windows machines for work, and the trackpads and those were awful.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Yeah. You know, Apple really has rolled out some pretty poor products over the years. But what's not a poor product is TSO Host.
Nice.
And what I love about TSO Host is that in addition to offering a quality web hosting service and a quality experience when you go to buy domains, is that they are supporting the British Tech Network by giving us the server space we need so that we can have a website and have a place to host all of the show files you can watch or listen at your leisure, but also so we have the bandwidth so we can stream content to you every single week. They are incredibly generous and absolutely awesome for doing this. And all they're asking in return is that we go out on social media and give them some online love. So, Twitter, Facebook, whatever your social media place is, just let them know that you appreciate that TSO Host is here supporting the British Tech Network. Now, if it turns out that you need to set up a website or you need to buy domain names, well, go to them for that. And use the discount code BTN20, and you get a nice discount on their services. So thank you to TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us. Now go give them some online love. And Patrice, can you please help me tell people where they can find the live chat?
Oh, yeah, that I can totally do. And that is actually very easy. If you are listening to this live, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and also Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us live. That's very easy. Use your favorite pointing device, preferably not an Apple mouse, because as we just heard, they're not great. And head over there and you can talk to us. But let's say you are talking to you're listening to this. You're talking to us after the fact. I hope not. You're listening to this after the fact. And you still want to know, like, the links that I just put in, for example, for the Apple pointing devices. You still want to know, like, what that is and what we talked about and what the other people in the chat, like Wes, for example, and some Ben guy.
What they said.
You can do that. You head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you select today's date, which is the 26th of August, 2022. And then you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so before I hop into what I consider to actually be a really bad Apple product, far more so than Apple socks, I want to remind everyone that we've had a problem with the Daily News Show payments that people are sending in to help keep the show alive. The problem is that the system just apparently randomly turned off a bunch of the auto pays. So go and check your settings and make sure that's enabled, because enough of those got turned off that we haven't had enough money to ensure that the show can run beyond the end of this month. And today is the 26th. So that means we have less than a week left. So please make sure that those payments are set up and active. And if you are sending in money to help keep the Daily News Show running, thank you. You rock. And if you're not, and you're in a position where you can, well, then please and preemptively thank you. And if you know people that should be checking out the Daily News Show, well, let them know about it. It's a fantastic resource that the British Tech Network has had for 13, 14 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And Kyle is just absolutely brilliant and a true professional. And Patrice, as you have said many times, he's a professional and he should be getting paid for what he's doing. And so we do pay him. But without that money coming in, we can't, which means that the show will come to an end. So let's make sure that doesn't happen, because I would feel really sad going into September knowing that the Daily News Show isn't going to be happening anymore.
Yep. Skip a Starbucks by Kyle.
There we go.
I like that. We should make that our hashtag.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Okay. So now an Apple product that I feel really does qualify as seriously one of their worst. And that's the Apple III. It was designed or intended to be the next evolution of the Apple II product line. And instead, it was plagued with design and production problems. They had to recall like the first couple batches that went out. And in the end, it turned out to be a computer that that didn't actually offer anything more or better than what you would get from the Apple II models that were currently available. So it didn't have a place in the product line. It was buggy. It was flaky. It had to be recalled, and ultimately was a straight up flop. And
yeah, it was closer to the Apple poo than the Apple II.
Yes. I mean, the idea of a floppy drive built into the case. Okay, well, sure. But that, I mean, that could have been something that they did with a modification to the Apple II case, as opposed to making that one of the features of the Apple III. Nonetheless, bad product, bad design, and ultimately a big failure for Apple. Wow. And look, yeah. Okay, so my wow is Dave went and found an Apple III for sale on eBay, and it's going for $2,100.
Well, that's what the people, nobody has paid that.
Oh, no one, no, okay, that's what they want for it.
Nobody has bid on it apparently, and nobody has done the like buy it now thing.
You're right, yep. And they want a starting bid of $1,400. My guess is that accounts for why there are zero bids on this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll offer them one guitar pick.
Nice.
Maybe I can find a mouse somewhere. I'll trade them.
Yeah, Apple III for a Mighty Mouse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Patrice, can you top an Apple III for a bad product?
I've been thinking about it and I'm actually blanking on it. The only product that I can come up with is actually this one. It's not the phone that it's in, it's the case that it's Apple, whatever they call it, the silicone cases. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the current silicone cases. I've never had them before, so I cannot tell if they all have been garbage the last couple of years or if this year is especially garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. Like, I've had third party cases that have held up better in for a longer time, for like 2 years, than this did in like basically half a year. Like the rubber is peeling off. Like it's barely protective anyway. But the rubber is peeling off in like multiple places and all of that. And I used to not have a case at all. And I used to, and I still do. I nanny my phones and I have a purse that I carry around and all of that. And I make sure that like no keys or anything comes near it. Like, I'm very careful with my phones. I never carry them anywhere. Like, I mean, I had them in my hand. I fell once or twice, but that wasn't actually the reason for what's happening. Like it's just garbage, and it's expensive garbage. It's like $50, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a $50 case. Yeah. I'm with you. When I bought my iPhone 12 Pro, what, a year and a half ago, I bought the matching silicone case for it. And I've been so disappointed with it. It's it's been splitting apart. The silicone is coming off of the plastic frame. Part of the plastic frame is cracked. This is not a phone that gets dropped hardly ever. It doesn't get abused. It lives on my desk, in my pocket with nothing else, or in a computer bag where there's a dedicated pocket just for the phone.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's become so bad that my replacement case arrived yesterday. So instead of $50, I now have an $11 clear case on my phone. Yeah. And the sad thing is, this case actually feels better in my hand than an Apple's $50 silicone case.
I didn't know that I would sell this anyway in like a couple of weeks, I would get a new case.
You know, knowing the iPhone 14 is coming out, and it is very likely on my buy list, I still spent money $10 to get a different case for my iPhone because
that's how bad it is.
That's how bad it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That case alone makes calling Apple Silicon Apple Silicone a profound insult.
Yeah, I am with you. Wes is saying that he has the same problem with the Apple case on his 12 Pro.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. Oh, Dave, you're muted.
For a company that is very proud about their material science and their accessories and like how well they're designed and all of that, and then deliver something that doesn't even look nice after like a month.
We now know where the people that built the Mighty Mouse went.
maybe that's what happened.
I stopped buying them. I refuse to buy those anymore. I was the same boat. Every time, after not even a year, things are completely worn out.
I'm not going to make that mistake again. I made it once. I should have known better. I should have asked. Actually, I should have asked you before, but I didn't. I just thought, oh, this looks nice, and I bought it. I regretted it. And I rarely regret buying anything.
Yeah, I've been getting the spec cases, and they've been holding out pretty well. This case
I like spec. Yeah, it's what I had before, and it lasted forever. I mean, there was like a little issue, but like after 2 years.
I'm with you. Spec makes great cases. This one is, what's the company name? Spigen?
Oh, Spigen.
Spigen. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, Spigen, they're good too.
They're good too.
Yeah, really good case. And it cost me $11
Yeah, maybe it was a Spigen or the Spec, the one I had before. But either way, it lasted 2 years, and then like a tiny little piece, like right next to the charging port, like on top of the charging port, basically. Yep. That's the weakest point, and it broke out, but it broke out, and it didn't matter. Like it's still fine otherwise. I think I still even have it somewhere for some reason.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's my contender for that list.
That's a really good contender.
Yeah. A lot of good ones.
Yeah. Dave, do you have another?
What do I have here? Let's see. I would venture to say the smart case that goes with the AirPods Max. That is the worst case.
It looks like 100% winner. That is a winner. Like on all top of all of the entire list that we've come up with so far.
It's a bra.
It's a bra case, and it's not even the thing is it doesn't like the same thing as with this. It doesn't even fulfill the purpose it was designed for.
No,
not protective at all.
Yeah. I mean the headphones I'm sure were good. I've listened to them. I don't own a pair, but that is the worst.
Christina thing Warren seen. Complained about that. She was like, the headphones are great, but the case is like it's garbage. Like it's not even worth talking about. It's so bad. It's like I mean, she said, I think it's like packaging, like that you throw away once you like you unbox right. it.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
It is.
It was like Apple looked at all the people complaining about that bi-directional lightning, the 3.5 millimeter cable mm-hmm. that they got over, that it inherited from the Beats Solo Pro. And Apple's like, hold my beer. I got something worse.
Yeah. You want something to complain about? I'll give you something to complain about.
Yeah, that is true. That is really bad. Like, I mean, as I said, the design of it, the materials, the functionality, like, I don't know. Who designed this and what were they thinking?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's...
And that for a, what is it, $500-something like yeah. pair of headphones?
Yeah. Right. Instead of a nice worse. Instead of a nice moldy case, you get a parody of Victoria's Secret.
Wow. Yeah. and I can't unsee that image, and it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's more like Victor's Secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you can't unsee that. All right, Ben, do you have another bad product?
Yes, I do. And it is another entry in Apple's misguided input devices line. A device so bad that this is now on my top five best Apple devices that I was looking for.
Oh, I know.
The original Apple TV 4.0 remote.
I think I might have it somewhere. Give me a second.
I used to have a bunch of them. All five of them went into the garbage. It was so bad. Well, let's look at the highlights. The trackpad didn't work since the device was completely symmetrical. Half the time, you were clicking on the smooth surface that wasn't the trackpad and wondering why the hell the damn thing didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Now, you see, that's the fixed version. Because it
oh,
has
yeah, that's
the
one with the wide ring. I think I have the other one, too, right. somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, they didn't fix crap.
Fixed version that didn't fix anything is still crap.
Literally, the second this thing came out, I went and paid probably about $150 on remotes just to get the black one out of my house.
That's funny.
No, I had to use it and deal with it for the longest time until the new Siri remote came out. Even this fixed version, which, I mean, they added the wide ring to the menu button, hoping that it would fix the problems, but it didn't. Because, I mean, one, the white was barely noticeable. Like, I mean, one of the problems was that, like, you couldn't tell which one is up and down, like, by just feeling it. And you still couldn't, because, like, it still feels the same. The ring is still the same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My thumb doesn't feel white.
Yeah, I mean, the white is a little bit raised, but, like, when you just grab it and just press something, you don't think about it, don't notice. And then the trackpad part, like, the trackpad was crap.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, it's one of the examples of a really bad trackpad that Apple created.
Yeah.
Yeah. The version of that without the white ring, mm-hmm. that's the Apple remote that I have. And it got dropped at one point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of the case is glass.
Yep.
So it cracked.
Yeah, I have one of those too. I think that's the original that I have.
Replacing it was like, I don't want to spend the money to replace this remote. So I ended up putting
scotch
tape.
Was it like $50 or something?
Yeah, I didn't want to pay $50 to be annoyed with the replacement remote. So scotch tape.
That in itself is hilarious. If you think about it, it's $150 device and the remote is $50. So the Apple TV box that is kind of the heart and the thing why you buy it is $100.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If I didn't have my Harmony remote to do basically everything with, I would be so frustrated. The only reason I have the Apple TV remote sitting on the couch is so that if I'm using my AirPods, I have a remote that can change the volume on the AirPods.
And you know why this had to be this bad? Because they envisioned the Apple TV as a gaming device, and they needed the touchpad for that to have.
You couldn't game touch on
interaction.
It.
You could. I tried it a couple times. You couldn't gaming do that. It was so bad.
The only thing I liked about that remote that I wish the new far superior one doesn't have is the accelerometer. So. Because I could freaking wee bowl with that thing.
Oh,
wee bowl.
Yeah. Nobody needs it. Nobody uses it. It's like,
In fact, now I wish I hadn't thrown them away, because I could use my baseball bat to hit them about 300 feet in the neighbor's farm.
Can probably go on eBay and find a bunch of them for like $10.
Yeah. It's like, here, take it. Please just take it.
Wow, I feel very traumatized by these products.
Me too. Yeah. And they're more, I mean, most of them were more current than I thought. Like, I would have thought we go back to whatever, the Pippin or the, what was the tablet thing again?
The message pad? The Newton?
Yeah. The Newton, like I thought we would go back that far, but like we had quite current products.
Yeah, the oldest product would be the Apple III.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everything else I think was from the at least 2000s.
From this century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Apple hasn't gotten any better.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for a company that's consistent, right?
Yeah, I mean, what it also shows is that Apple is trying. They're really trying to do things and to change things. And I mean, sometimes not for the better.
Yep, and sometimes they try to reinvent the wheel in ways that actually make the wheel worse.
Like the trackpad.
But literally. If they're not trying, then, I mean... If you're going to be pushing the envelope and you're going to try and find new and better ways to do things, you're going to have some failures along the way.
Yeah. And to say something about this remote, when I first saw it, I was actually quite excited about it because it mm-hmm. sounded and it looked like a really good device and a really good idea. It was just badly implement, or maybe my idea just didn't match up with reality.
Not with the reality of that product, but
with the reality of actually using it.
Yeah.
So as I said, the only thing I can say is the idea was not bad. The implementation definitely was.
Yeah.
And that's always the question, like who tested this?
Yeah. But the good news, at least Apple, on a lot of these mistakes, was willing to go back,
mm-hmm.
Implement changes that, or implemented prior technologies that did work, and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the cool thing about the Siri remote, the new one. It's a step back and a step forward at the same time. It did step back for some things where it's like, okay, it just makes more sense to do it that way with like the circle and the buttons and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they added or kept the Siri stuff and made it better. And they added the power button and made it better. Yeah. Like they added things that were a step forward. And I think that's the thing with Apple. Like, I hope they do it with the Magic Mouse eventually, because that's a dire need of like reinventing and doing something that's better,
mm-hmm.
or just getting rid of it. I mean, either way, but
I was actually surprised they still make it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, apparently enough people buy them.
Or they have enough stock.
Or they have enough stock. Sure, either way.
Yeah. Probably. They made too many and they're like, oh, shit. Nobody wants to order them. What do we do?
Just keep selling them. Hey, Ben.
Yo.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on the riverfront that is virtually behind me, but I should be there taking a walk sometime this afternoon, or you can just go at Ben Raythig. You can see how it's spelled right here on Twitter.
Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at InTouchBiOS, InTouchBiOS.com. I'm on YouTube at YouTube.com/InTouchBiOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck, which we miss you, Chuck. And also on Twitter at DaveD65. Great job, Jeff.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Friday. By the way, this is the last Summer of Fun edition of the Mac Show, but there is another one on the Big Show on Thursday, which I'm also on. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, all of that. If you want to buy me a coffee, there's a link to all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food and food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And Patrice, thank you for bringing up that this is the last of our Summer of Fun for the Mac Show. Next week, we are doing keynote poker because we do have the September 7th keynote event coming up. So get ready for our always brilliant predictions.
Yeah, right on time. September 2nd, I think. Yeah, Friday's the 2nd, September 2nd. We're doing the keynote poker.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm Jay Gamut on all of those. On Tuesdays on Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner and Dave, and Thursdays on the Big Show, and then also Thursday evenings with Dave again on In Touch with iOS here on Fridays, and then also on the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. Hey, thank you, all three of you, for being so awesome and making my Friday morning just so much fun. I always look forward to this, and I so, so enjoy getting to spend time with all of you. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. So glad that you were here with us. If you're participating in the chat room, hey, thanks for being part of that as well. Everyone that tunes in to watch or listen later, hey, so glad you are part of the BTN family as well. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you to TSO hosts for being here to support us. Give them some online love and let them know you appreciate them too. A shout out to Mueller for making sure that there's people here for the shows every week. And Patrice, thanks again for coming up with the Summer of Fun idea. And and I think that that I have acknowledged all the people that need to be acknowledged. What?
Oh, he talked about you.
Ewan.
Oh, yeah. There's some Ewan guy. Hi, Ewan. Anyhow, thank you for being here. Tune in next Thursday for the Big Show, and then again on Friday for the Mac Show. Everyone have an awesome weekend. We will see you next week.
Well, we've now leveled up in Castlevania.
Yes, we have.
We did.